Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
These guys survived the David Kahn era of Timberwolves basketball and lived to tell about it. It's Flagrant Howls.
Yes, this is everyone's favorite Timberwolves lifestyle podcast. And our guy Kyle is currently, I don't know, nine beers deep at the Waste Management Open in Phoenix right now. But we do have Jim Peterson, who is the star of this show anyways, whenever he comes on trade deadline day. Jim Pete.
What up? Is Kyle, have you seen those videos of guys at the Waste Management who are completely wasted, stumbling around, falling over?
You think
Kyle's like that?
I think, not only do I think he's like that, have you seen the videos when they open the gates at like 5-6 o'clock in the morning? And it's become now a tradition where people line up. It looks like the start of the New York City Marathon or something. And security has those crowd control gates. And they pull the gates away and they hold everyone up and they like blow a whistle, and then people sprint from the entrance of the golf course to go get their spot on the 16th green or in the 16th. I think he was probably there at 6 o'clock in the morning sprinting to the 16th.
We almost need him to do a call in or something I needed a report. Like, I would love to see where he's at right now. I would love to see where he's at.
I'm actually going to send him the link.
Him.
I'm literally going to send him the link. And if he can join us even for like 30 drunken seconds to give his take. I know he likes the Monte Morris trade. So we know that. And it's also a tradition whenever the Wolves make a big trade, Kyle is always on a plane. So I think it was Shams who reported it first yesterday. I sent him the link on our text thread and he responds with a photo of him stepping onto a Delta plane. Just like tradition, the Rudy Gobert trade on a plane. I think the D'Lo trade on a plane.
Right.
So if you want to trade someone, put Kyle on a plane. And so, well, let's start with NBA trade deadline day here, Jim Pete. And just across the league, by the way, before we get into Monte Morris, I'm just trying to gather as many of these as possible down to the wire. So the Thunder traded for Gordon Hayward today. Pat Bev to the Bucks.
Yeah.
It'll be a fun one. Pistons just released Killian Hayes, the former number 7 overall pick, because they couldn't find a trade partner. I wanted Doug McDermott in the buyout market, but the Pacers went and just traded for him about 10 minutes ago. And then the Suns got Royce O'Neal, who was another one that just a good 3-point shooting wing player. So some good role players, nothing like blockbuster level, but some really good role players going around. And then Monte Morris to the Timberwolves yesterday. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, first of all, let me add, the Knicks won the day. I mean, the Knicks won the trade deadline. Getting Bojan Bogdanović is absolutely huge for them. And then Alec Burks is someone that I really wanted. I mean, when I started looking at players who we could get at the trade deadline, either in a buyout or in a trade situation, Alec Burks was someone that when you looked at like those teams that were probably going to start jumping ship and start tanking or whatever, unloading players. You looked at Detroit and what Alec Burks was doing off the bench in that role. He's a veteran guy. You look at his game log. It was very productive and exactly what Minnesota needed, you know, a three-point shooter. The Wolves really needed shooting and scoring off the bench.
Yes.
Kyle's inability to put the ball in the hoop this year has really hurt. As much as he saved the Wolves season last year, not having him, you know, contribute those 8 to 10 points to 12 points a game has really hurt. And so it puts so much pressure on Nas to get it done, and for Nas as well. Those two have to score now, and if they don't score, it really hurts Minnesota's production. So getting someone like you mentioned, Doug McDermott, I mean, he was another guy that you're kind of like earmarking in a buyout market because the Wolves probably had, you know, I mean, prorated veteran minimum, whatever. So, you know, you could have you're still a million under the cap right now, or under the luxury tax. So they could have gotten someone like him. I think, you know, reports were that he actually wanted to come to Minnesota. But the other need was to get a backup point guard in case something happened to Mike. Right. So,
yep.
So, I mean, I just think it's a really, really nice deal for Minnesota. I think Monte Morris is someone that I've kind of followed a bunch just because he played at Iowa State and was, you know, was recruited by Fred Hoiberg. And, you know, Freddie had all those great teams at Iowa State, and Monte was there with Fred for 2 years. And he's also a Flint guy. You know, my relationship with Trent Tucker, Trent, you know, being from Flint, Michigan, all those great players that came from that city. And Monte is one of them. In fact, you know, Monte has a very storied history at Beecher High School. I mean, he won two state tournaments or two state championships there, and he was Mr. Michigan. So Mr. Basketball of Michigan. So, I mean, he's had a really storied career. And then also he was drafted 51, Phil. And so the only reason that's important to me is because I was also drafted 51.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was the second most productive player in NBA history drafted at 51. Kyle Korver was number one.
I love it.
And I was second. And then Monte Morris starts clicking up, and he's got more win shares than I do now. So Monte Morris has been sort of on my radar for a while.
You guys are going to have it whenever, and he's not going to be, I don't think he's going to be joining the team for the game tonight, but later on the road trip, you guys are going to have a knowing glance from across the room. Yes. But not to make you feel too
51,
old,
baby.
He was a second round pick at 51. You're so old. You were a third round pick at 51.
I was. Yeah. I mean, back in those days when I was drafted by the Houston Rockets in 84, there were only 23 teams. So, yeah. So, I mean, like, that just goes to show you. And, you know, I don't – Basketball Reference is such a great resource. And so when you can click on any draft year, and then if you go into the pick, you can click on the pick, and you can see all who was drafted at that slot. And so there were only been 30 guys. And I don't know how far back the history goes back in the draft.
Goes back to 1975, Bubbles Hawkins was the 51st overall pick. So Bubbles Hawkins.
So not a lot of guys have made it being drafted 51. So, so anyway, that was one of the distinctions. But with Monte, though, what I really like about his game, though, like when he had to fill in for Jamal Murray in Denver, like the job that he did in that season to make Denver relevant, like he did a fantastic job. And so he's an excellent shooter. He's one of those guys, just like Mike Conley, just like Tyus Jones, whose assist to turnover ratio is always super high. I mean, he's got a 4.91 assist to turnover ratio in his career. So the most he's ever averaged in a season is one. So even when he got that fill-in duty and playing, he started all those games for Denver that season. He only turned it over. He averaged one turnover a game, which, as we know, Timberwolves need ball security is going to be a major factor. It's been one of the big bugaboos for them this season, all season long. So, you know, Monte's a guy that's a knockdown three-point shooter, shoots 39% from three in his career. And like, he just is a guy that is a true pro. And anybody that knows about him knows that professionalism is his middle name. And so if you're not going to get an active score shooter at the trade deadline, getting another backup point guard who can score, can put the ball on the hoop, He's not a super aggressive like scorer. He's more like Mike in a lot of ways. I mean, yes, his philosophy, but I just think it was a great pickup. And Tim Connelly has this relationship with Monte too, which makes a huge difference.
Yeah. I mean, if you and I are both big Basketball Reference nerds, it sounds like you're like, you wake up in the morning, you know, like brush your teeth, put some coffee on, and then open up Basketball Reference and go down a wormhole. And when I started digging into like his shooting profile, so I mean, if you watch him play, like, you know he can knock down a three, and he's not gonna be like a 25 point. He's not gonna be, you know, he's not gonna come in and score 28 and sort of save you. But if you look the last 3 or 4 years, so he scores inside the restricted area at like a 75% rate, which is astronomically high for any size player, let alone a 6'2" player. From the like the paint area, sort of 3 feet to 10 feet, 50% from that area, which again, for a 6'2" guard is really good. And then he is a 48% mid-range shooter from 10 feet out to the 3-point line. And he mixes that into his game too. And then of course, like 40% from three. So he can score at every level. Think about, you know, you kind of went through these, the boxes that he checked for this team. Okay, they have a turnover problem. Let's bring in one of the best assist to turnover ratio guys. Okay, they have an offensive problem with the second unit. They need more three-point shooting, and they could use an organizer to just help put guys in the right spots. Check that box. If you look at his career foul numbers, he doesn't get handsy, he doesn't hack, he doesn't foul. So he does check a lot of these boxes, and you do it without giving up one of your current rotation players too. And I was really excited for Shake Milton when they made that signing in the offseason. I thought he was going to just have a better run here. But they were kind of, because Shake didn't pan out and Troy Brown Jr. sort of fell out of the rotation, they were just a player short the last month and a half, it seemed like. So to add Monte Morris, Jim Pete, and not give up a Kyle Anderson or somebody that's a core member of your rotation seems like another win to me.
Yeah, I think there are some people, I mean, you know, Wolves Twitter is awesome. And I've been entertained by Wolves Twitter for a long time, but sometimes they can be kind of negative,
as you know. Kind of.
And so, you know, all the calls for whether it's, you know, Chris Finch being fired when the Wolves lose some close games, or Kyle Anderson to be dealt on trade deadline day, you know, I get it, because it's been an issue with Kyle. He's not been the same player since he got the eye injury in Denver last year. He's not been the same guy, but I got so much love for that dude and what he does for this team. That's both seen and unseen from a leadership standpoint. And he's a lot of times the regulator. He's the guy that is the vocal leader. And so he's a guy that's able to do it on the court and in the locker room. And then also off the floor, like connect with guys and stuff. And, you know, Mike does that on a one-on-one basis, but those two guys, Mike Conley and you know, Kyle Anderson, I just think that Kyle's got a lot of value. And so, you know, I think that there was some that wanted to maybe see if there was something for Slo-Mo, but I think that just the matchups that he brings to the table in terms of his matchup with Luka, his matchup with Kawhi, his matchup with Zion, KD, LeBron, like all the guys that he can guard, I think that that's a huge plus for Minnesota. They're going to need guys. They're going to need stops. And yes, while he struggled offensively, and we know the numbers about, you know, how inefficient he's been and what it means to Minnesota's offense, defensively and leadership-wise, he's kind of a touchstone for Minnesota, and I'm glad he's still on our roster.
Did you – I'm sure you heard this. It was the TNT game a couple weeks ago, and Anthony Edwards went on the post game with – Ernie and Shaq and Kenny and Chuck. And one of them said, hey, when you know, he had like 2 points or 4 points in the first half, and then he exploded in the second half and they came back and won the game. And one of the guys said, hey man, like you only had 4 points at halftime. You know, when you go into the locker room, you're way more talented than to have 4 points at halftime. Like, does anyone get into you? Do any of your teammates kind of get on you? And he instantly said, Kyle Anderson. Slo-Mo's the one that, so I'm with you. I think in the short term, yeah, like don't pick up a technical in a close game, which was kind of ticky-tack anyways. It'd be nice if the three-point shooting was at least on the level that it was last year for him. But I'd love to see this play out with Kyle Anderson, because I think he's going to find a way to be valuable, especially in a playoff series where, you're gonna need some versatility and some savviness, and you're gonna need half court defense and all those things. So I'm still team Kyle Anderson. Sounds like you are too.
I am for sure. I mean, like, you know, plus he's got a great nickname. You know, it's
slow-mo,
like
you need guys.
You just need guys like Kyle. So he's the guy that players trust. He's a guy that coaches trust. And I think that, you know, there's going to be a game or two in the playoffs that he's going to help Minnesota win.
Yes. Hey, I'd love your thoughts on just, you know, they've been giving up these leads and by the way, the Bucks have been too. So I can't decide who I want to have a 15 point lead in the fourth quarter tonight. Maybe you want the Bucks to have a 15 point lead, but you know, what do you see in some of these? I mean, Chris Finch has been kind of banging his head against this wall, and it seems like the players are saying, yeah, like we know what's wrong and we're going to find a way to fix it. But what are you seeing? Are there any patterns or trends that are just sort of repeating themselves from your standpoint in the fourth quarter of these games?
Well, so, I mean, the games that I'm thinking about, you know, obviously this happened early on in the season. In the third game of the season, we lost to the Atlanta Hawks. I mean, we were up 19 at the half and we were up 21. Was the biggest lead. And, you know, the ones recently are the ones that, you know, are more memorable. I mean, being up 18 against Charlotte, you know, against 15 against at San Antonio. And then, like, you think about being up 23 in the third quarter against Chicago. It's just one of those things, I think, that you've got a 22-year-old player who's the head of the snake. And so there's things that come along with that like you're going to have inconsistency. And so, you know, I just think that Ant is kind of in a weird place right now because he's so supremely confident. And let me tell you, like, we were sitting courtside there in Chicago, Phil, and like, you can tell when Ant is like super laser focused. And he came out in that first quarter and was just gangbusters. He had a different kind of energy. And Michael and I were talking about this during the game. It was like, you know, I think playing in Chicago in that building, playing in United Center,
wow,
and people have compared Ant to Jordan. We were kind of just joking around. We didn't want to get into that maybe too soon because, you know, you just never know what's going to happen. But Ant was on it. I mean, he was incredible. And he had a play, and I forget what quarter it was. Might have been the second quarter, where he's being closely defended by Torrey Craig, and he catching the basketball was hard. Clearing himself from Torrey Craig, he had to dribble out towards center court towards the timeline, and he dribbled out to center court, and he had to square back up again. And what he did to drain his three was just so physically impressive. It happened right in front of us too. And so it made it even more impressive. And so you've got this 22-year-old kid who can physically kind of do anything, can kind of score at will. And then when it comes to the fourth quarter, you know, they went through that video session and they're trying to kind of redefine roles. And, you know, the one thing that's kind of come about is like the hero ball that Ant kind of gets into, that mode that he got into in Brooklyn when he missed 10 shots in a row. And it looks awful where other people aren't involved. Well, I think he's kind of caught in between right now, where he's kind of caught in between, do I get my own offense or am I trying to get other people on? And you're sort of in this sort of in-between ground that kind of like is hard. So yeah. I feel like he was trying to get other people on against Chicago, but the unraveling happened in the third quarter. So like, you know, you got this big lead and all of a sudden they go on a 10-0 run and they turn your 23 point lead to a 13 point lead. And then they cut it under double digits. And then you're going through a, here we go again kind of situation. So, you know, it's staying focused. It's having a 22-year-old kind of lead your team. It's here we go again mentality, that once you kind of go down this road a few times, you start thinking like, here we go again. But what's really puzzling is that Minnesota's defense just completely went out the window against Chicago. And
yeah,
if you look at all these games, I mean, like the reason why Minnesota lost was different, like in all of them. But in that one, I mean, the defense just completely left them because they scored enough points. They just needed to get some stops and they couldn't do that. So You know, if you're Chris Finch, it's better to have these things happen now versus late in the season or in the playoffs. We all remember what happened against the Memphis Grizzlies. And all of those playoff games where Minnesota built big leads and ended up dropping them. That was sort of the problem that year, two years ago. But I just think that Ant's going to get better. He's going to figure it out. They're going to figure it out. And I think Chris Finch is a guy that's going to – he's always been a problem solver to me. He's always been a guy that when things have popped up, he's figured out a way to – you know, make the team better in that particular area. So I'm going to guarantee that he's going to figure this out before the end of the season.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
You said a couple minutes ago, you referenced, you know, playing in that building, and there have been, I mean, there's been people comparing Anthony Edwards to Michael Jordan's game, and you see some of the videos on social media where you'll see him doing the same shake and bake, the mid-range game now that Anthony Edwards has. But then there've even been people that are like, you know, Photoshop his hair being gone, and like they physically kind of look the same facially. And I've gone back and forth being really excited about that comparison, because I do think if given, he's probably what, 4 years away from even entering his basketball prime. A lot of guys don't really peak until they're like 26, 27. Then they get into a 5-year window. So like, what could he become in the next 4 or 5 years? But also Michael Jordan is the one name in basketball history that's just sort of untouchable and unfair to even make a comparison to. But then this morning, I don't know if you saw this, the latest high-profile relevant person to make the comparison was Kevin Garnett on his podcast. He said Anthony Edwards is 1984-85 Michael Jordan, where he's out there, he's trying to figure out what he can do against the league. Now, Jordan obviously played 3 years of college, so he didn't enter the league until he was 21. But we got KG now comparing Anthony Edwards to the 21, 22-year-old version of Michael Jordan. How do those comparisons land with you? You played against Michael in that era, so you can speak to it much more than most people can.
Yeah, I kind of, you know, Michael Jordan is obviously, I mean, the stories, everybody's heard him. Bobby Knight kind of said it early on. I mean, when Bobby Knight had Michael Jordan in the Olympic trials, and when they won the gold medal in 1984 in Los Angeles, Jordan was still in college at that point, hadn't been drafted. Well, he'd been drafted because it was 84. He'd been drafted by the Bulls, but or was going to be. But the stories of Jordan and his competitive flair are hit, you know, historic. But Anthony Edwards is pretty competitive by all accounts too, and you could see him play. Like, he gets that look in his eye, and the determination is there. So I think that, you know, Jordan's ability to close games and the way that he was able to, you know, just dominate every single quarter and the way that he was able to win, that's the main thing, is the winning. But I think that that's where Anthony Edwards is going to get better. His lore is going to grow because he's going to make Minnesota a winner. And I just think that you see a lot of parallels. I'm a fan, and so I'm always an optimist. So like, when I hear people comparing him to Michael Jordan, I'm like, okay. I mean, you can definitely see it, and you hope that that's what happens. That's what I hope for Minnesota fans. I hope that he becomes, even if he becomes, you know, 2/3 of what Michael Jordan was, that would be amazing for Wolves fans.
Yeah. What's funny is I feel like LeBron's been a victim of this is, we set these bars for players, and it's happening kind of with Patrick Mahomes now too, where, you know, is he Tom Brady? No, let's use Tom Brady as a bar to penalize Patrick Mahomes. And like, LeBron James' biggest crime in his career is that he might not quite be Michael Jordan. He didn't quite, right? So I want to be careful about setting a bar too high, but I mean, he's 22 years old, and he's already, look at his playoff performances already too. And some of the little leadership things that you see from him, pumping the tires of his teammates, and It's going to be a lot of fun the next 5 or 6 years. I mean, Dwayne Wade came out too. So that's another one. He's like a better shooting Dwayne Wade right now.
You know, what's kind of crazy though. And Ant is not really wired up this way. Cause like Jordan was a guy that was super hard on his teammates. Mm-hmm. I mean, the guys that played with him, I mean, all you had to do is just watch The Last Dance and the stories of Michael Jordan treating his teammates poorly, and because he wants to win, like he wants to win at all costs, and he expects them to get to his level. I remember playing with Roddy McRae when I was with the Houston Rockets, who's one of the greatest guys of all time. Roddy McRae, phenomenal player at Louisville and is from Mount Vernon, New York. And Rod and I were traded from Houston to Sacramento together. But at the end of Rod's career, he played for the Chicago Bulls the year that they beat the Phoenix Suns. And Rod just would tell me like just how tough and competitive Michael was and how hard he was on Rod. Like, he had all these high expectations. So I've known about this for a long time, but then The Last Dance kind of brought it out. And if you listen to the stories about Kobe Bryant, Kobe was kind of the same way too. Like, you know, these high expectations and what it takes to be obsessed with winning and how you need your teammates to be a part of that whole concept and like how you make an assessment. Like Kobe would like look at a teammate, he would like write somebody off or get him out of there because he didn't think he was going to be a winner. So Ant's not really wired up that way. And I wonder how much of that you need in order to be a champion. Like those two players were champions. You know, LeBron is more of like Ant than I think he is like Jordan and Kobe. I think that Ant just is such a good natured dude, man. He's so kind. And he's so funny and he's so complimentary of his teammates. And you hope that never leaves, by the way, because there are guys that have come into the league that have been that way, good natured and stuff when they start, but then they get jaded and then they get bitter. And you've been around him, Phil. You've had to cover him. You know, I mean, what that means. So on the one hand, I want Ant to stay the way he is. On the other hand, he might have to grow a little bit tougher of a skin to be able to demand that other people come up to his level and even demand it from himself.
Yeah. Well, Jim, we got about 5 minutes left in the show here, and I do have one more basketball related question for you, but let's pause the basketball talk and get a golf update from Phoenix here from our guy, Kyle Tige at the Waste Management Open.
It's
great.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, we got you. Yeah.
It is pouring rain in Scottsdale.
Oh,
I'm at the
turn
right now. We're waiting for the rain to subside. You can kind of see it.
You're like in the pro shop right now?
I'm just trying to stay warm, man. I'm like four hot toddies in. It's really cold. They paused the tournament today, the Waste Management, but we have 9 more holes left. So I just wanted to stop and say hi.
Yeah. Hey, were you one of the – we saw the video of – it was still dark out this morning, and like hundreds of people lined up to sprint – from the starting gate to the 16th, were you in the first row or like a little further back this morning at 6 a.m.?
I was the guy in the wedding dress, if you saw that.
That's what
the
we thought.
The guy that lost the fantasy football thing.
Jim Keat picked you out. Yeah, he saw that.
I was right next to him. So, Jim, this is not perfect golf weather, but next week it'll be better in Portland. So
I'm looking forward to it. You know, I just was talking to Phil and we started this whole thing and I was like, I would love to see Kyle, like what kind of shape he's in right now at the Waste Management. So how many beers have you had any beers today, bro?
I've had one or two. I'm trying to stay warm. It's so cool. It's like 50 degrees here. It's nasty, but it's supposed to be better tomorrow. So just like call and say hi.
Monte Morris, your thoughts in 30 to 60 seconds.
It costs nothing to get him, right? I mean, I like Shake, I like Troy, but, you know, not expiring contracts, but nothing. You didn't really have to do much financially. A second-round pick in 2030, who knows if we'll be alive by then. But I'm excited to have a better backup point guard. I like Jordan McLaughlin, but I think Monte Morris and his ability to protect the basketball is going to be really big. So what did Jim think? Jim knows more than I do.
Jim hates it. Jim's no.
No, Kyle, I was telling Phil that I've been tracking Monte Morris for a long time because I was drafted in 1984, 51 by the Houston Rockets, which at that time was a third round pick. But he was drafted 51 in 2017. And so that was a second round pick at the time. So He's the second most productive player drafted at 51 in NBA history. I'm the third. So
can you name the first?
At 51? I don't know.
2003.
He went to Creighton.
Kyle Korver? No.
Yes.
Yeah, dude. Really? Kyle Korver.
Wow.
Let's go. See? He's not only a couple beers in. He's still got his wits about him.
No, I love the trade. I think that his relationship with Tim Connelly is huge. I think that he's going to be another Connelly type player, in that I think he's going to be great in the locker room. Guys are going to love him. He played for Fred Hoiberg at Iowa State, and so Freddie's been raving about him for years. Everywhere he's been loved, and so he's going to be like a Mike Connelly player. Low turnover, high assist. His assist to turnover ratio is 4.91 or whatever. Like he's had a really nice career so far. So I'm psyched for Timberwolves fans.
Well, good to see you guys. I'm going to try to get back out there in the elements and make you proud. But Jim, good to see you. See you next week. And Phil, as always, good to see you.
All right, brother. See you, Kyle. See ya. There he is. There's your waste management open. Okay, yeah. Yes.
That was
fun. We should have played the Masters music behind him while he gave us the golf update.
That was great.
So are our pre-show prep that we haven't brought to the show yet? We should, to wrap the show here. Are we saying that Monte Morris at the deadline has potential to be the fourth most impactful, based on our 30 seconds of research before we hit the mics here, yeah, in terms of deadline deals? D'Lo was a deadline deal he was a deadline deal twice, but acquiring him to get the Wolves to that 40 win level. KG the second time, more as like a veteran influence. And then Tom Gugliotta, 1995.
Yeah, Googs is probably the top one, right?
Yeah.
You know, D'Lo, as much as you want to say, like, D'Lo helped Minnesota get to where they needed to be in terms of getting back to the playoffs, and his shooting was a big part of that. So I think people would have, mixed opinions about whether or not it's one of the best ones. But it certainly was productive for Minnesota from that standpoint. But then Monte, what's it going to lead to? You're going to have his bird rights, so that's going to be valuable. You could re-sign him, but Minnesota's cap situation has just got to be fixed first. There's a lot of bridges to cross before you get to re-signing Monte Morris or debating all of that.
Yep. So we'll see how this, and by the way, just a warning for fans too, Monte Morris missed most of the first 3 months of the year with a quad injury, and he's not fully back in peak basketball shape. So it might take him, I don't know, 2 or 3 weeks before you see a peak version, right?
Yeah, a month. So, I'm going to say a month, but we'll see.
So don't go on Twitter wanting everyone to be fired and kicked out if he misses a couple threes in his first game, is what we're saying.
Right.
So, Jim Pete, thanks for joining us from the hotel room in Milwaukee. Okay. We'll send you off to the arena, and we'll talk to you again next week, man.
Okay. Thanks, Phil.
All right, Jim Peterson on everyone's favorite Timberwolves lifestyle podcast, Flagrant Howls.